Okay.
Okay.
Tom Adams on the five-string banjo. Johnson Mountain Boys. They could be related. I don't know. Well, you know, he's playing on the, he's got that capo on the fourth fret. I get scared if I tune the banjo that high that everything's going to break. It's so, just right. It's just right. And, you know, this is such an auspicious day. As I sit here in studio, whatever studio Rick named this, in the Rick Tyler Memorial Studio, it's a big day in Radioland. It is a, I'm telling you, we got new lights in the studio. I know Rick was lobbying for them, and they're in. I saw them last week. I didn't want to get my expectations up too high. I saw them. I said, there's LED lights here. I bet these are for the studio because the official lights for the studio, the lights that were where you can actually see something, were old, and I'm going back like 20-year-old compact fluorescent lights that are no longer available. And they're gone. The new and here, you know, I've been tempted to replace them some Saturday morning. I thought, you know, Tom, you want to get into trouble with the powers that be, just go start modifying the studio lights. Well, I didn't have to. It only took, you know, I don't know how many years I've been thinking about that one, but anyway, it is awesome. I want to tell you, I can see everything. It's clear. It's casting shadows over. Unbelievable. So this doesn't take much to keep me happy, I tell you. This morning, driving up in the dark, and this has been a big week for headlights for me, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I'm driving up in the dark, and I know, you know, I can always tell when a truck is coming, a pickup truck, not a huge truck. Pickup truck is coming at me because they're taller. The headlights are up higher. I mean, duh. But the lights are so, and I can never tell, you know, I don't want to flash the high beams. I don't know if they got high beams on or just have bright lights. But generally speaking, they're kind of at your face level, I think, or maybe a little higher. So they're coming down. They're really blinding, as you know. I'm not telling you anything new. But I noticed, you know, after a couple of pickup trucks went by, another truck coming at me, and it was a tanker truck headed down to Searsport to fill up. And those headlights, maybe they're older trucks, but those headlights, maybe they're adjusted better, were not bad. And so I said, I'm going to do a study this morning. And I paid attention to the bigger trucks, the tanker trucks, the freight trucks. They don't seem to be as annoying or as blinding, I guess would be the term, than the pickup trucks and the newer SUVs. And I was kind of impressed that the trucks, and again, I suspect maybe they're just a little bit older. Maybe they have incandescent bulbs instead, or halogens even, instead of LEDs. But this kind of ties to an episode that happened this week in the world of Tom. And that is, we picked up a forklift and it got delivered one night. I think it was Monday. And I was on the road. So it was after we had closed. It was dark out. It's one of those days where it was really windy and cold. So I had been home. It was Tuesday. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I got home, did a couple things, hopped in the car to go down, hopped in my Prius. And I get in and I'm driving down. I live up on top of the hill, so I'm driving down the hill. And the brake lights come on and it starts beeping at me, steady beep, which is not a good sign. Brake pedal felt funny. And I'm like, if this is a brake problem on this car, that's going to be sort of the kiss of death. Everything else I could deal with, if it needs a brake accumulator on this car, is just a real hassle to change. I mean, it's enough that I would probably say to let the car go. But so I got down there. I made it down okay. And left the lights on. The forklift was outside, so I pulled it into the shop. And I go to move the car, I had left it running, headlights on, heat was on, the car's running. And I put it into drive, and it pops into neutral. I did this several times, got all these lights on. Okay, it's windy and cold, but the heat is on, so it's not horrible. So I get the scan tool, I get the official dealer computer, and I scanned the car. And it wasn't definitive. I got a feeling it was a 12-volt issue. And it's on a Prius when you have, and you know, this is probably generally for a lot of cars these days because of all the computers. If the 12-volt is low, communications doesn't work right. And I guess I just had that feeling that this was a 12-volt issue. So, okay, I'm just going to park this car, turn out the lights, put the computer away, and I will check the voltage on the 12-volt battery in the morning. So I hopped into a 2021 Prius Prime that I'm getting ready to sell. And I drove it home. And I want to tell you, this car has the expensive headlights. This is a car I bought that had been in an accident. It wasn't bad, but I had to replace one headlight. And I've had to do it before in Prius Primes. I think this was maybe the third headlight I've replaced. They're easy to replace. That's not the issue. They're LED lights that are adaptive, so they apparently they if somebody's coming at you, they kind of dampen down. Well, I'm going up the hill. First of all, I'm in low beams, and I can see incredibly well. At some point, I put on the high beams because there are critters that march around up where I live. I put the high beams on, and I'm like, this was a whole... It was almost a religious experience. If a sign is shining down from heaven at you, it's probably with LED high beam lights. I mean, it was really amazing. And I don't know how adaptive they are because I haven't driven it a lot. I hate to drive really new cars because I'm afraid I'm going to mess them up. But I want to tell you, I was just like, oh, God, I want to keep this car. This is so nice. And I really should research to see how adaptive lights work for the, I mean, they work great for me, but for somebody coming on at the car, do they do what they're supposed to do in terms of not blinding the person in oncoming traffic, which would be fantastic. So what we'll do is we've got to take a break. There's more to the story, more to do with cars and computers.
I dreamed last night I got on the boat to heaven, and by some chance I had brought my dice along. And there I stood, and I hollered, someone fade me. But the passengers, they knew right from wrong. For the people all said, sit down, you're rocking the boat. People all said, sit down, you're rocking the boat. The devil will drag you under by the sharp lapel of your checkered coat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, you're rocking the boat. I sailed away on that little boat to heaven, and by some chance found a bottle in my fist. And there I stood nicely passing out the whiskey, but the passengers were bound to resist. For the people all said, beware, all said, you're beware, on a heavenly trip.
Beware.
People all said, beware,
all said, beware,
you'll scuttle the ship. And the devil will drag you under by the fancy tie round your wicked throat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, you're rocking the boat. And as I laughed at those passengers to heaven.
Oh,
Hey, we're back. What is it? 8:19. 8:20. Oh, my goodness. It just turned 8:20. Go figure, huh? Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. Texts are coming in fast and furious. We'll get to those in just a moment. But to end this story of lament and headlights, for the moment at least, next morning I go in, and the acid test, if you're wondering about your 12-volt battery, if you have a voltmeter, don't start the car. Open the hood or the trunk, depending on where your battery is, and check the voltage. If it's below about 12.3 or so, 12.2, it's probably time. So I checked it, and it was 12.2. I said, well, that's not horrible, considering it has sat. So I start the car, and everything cleared. I think I had a scan tool. I cleared it. It all cleared. Drove the car around. Okay. So, and you know, the problem I have every day, and I realized this last weekend. I went in last Sunday to do some work, and I was only there an hour and a half or so, and I got an incredible amount of stuff done because nobody's coming in and pestering me. Maria will come in and say, oh, you know, the heat's not working. No, I don't want to hear. Just make a list. Hand me a piece of paper with a list. Don't interrupt me. You know, my brain is turning to jello, and it's challenging. But anyway, so I filed it away. The car's running. I drove it up and down the street. It's all right. It's okay. I don't want to. Geez, you know, this happens again. Do I replace the battery now or what? So I thought, well, let me tighten the terminals. So I open it in my car, at least. The battery's in the back corner of the car, passenger side. So you have to take a bunch of stuff out. You get the battery. Okay, I tighten up the positive. It was not real loose. It took a couple turns. I look at the negative, which is kind of tucked in near the side where you can't see it. And what do I find? I find corrosion. Aha! There's the problem. Battery's okay. Terminal got corroded. And it just wasn't visible. Not that I checked the terminals that often. They were tight. So I cleaned it and made it here this morning. So now it's in the back of my head. The car with 495,000 miles. No, 475,000 miles on. Excuse me. When's it going to leave me stuck on the weighted radio station at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning? But I'm hoping that it gives a sign. So it is one of those things. This is the season, and it doesn't. There's two seasons for me. Actually, it's 12 seasons. Every month of the year, your batteries fail. But when it's really warm out, and when it starts to get colder, it's really cold. Obviously, batteries manifest the problem. So. All right, let's roll through some, holy mackerel, is that a message or what? I'm going to hold off on that one. That one's too long to read. I'll read it during the next break rather than, just in case. Maybe the truck lights are 6 feet tall and angling down. I think that's part of it. At any rate, Tom, how do adaptive lights work when they're blinding someone ahead of them in their mirrors? They're not. I often have an angle. I often have to angle my side mirrors. I do that too. You know, once I flip the center rear view mirror down, the side view mirrors then are catching it, and I will angle those out. Thank goodness for remote, control on that, because it's just agonizing. Tom, I sent you an email. Unit that will connect to your Prius and you can use CarPlay. Okay, thank you. I actually have a unit that will set up and let me use just the tunes. I mean, mostly I just want tunes, but I found that I put the radio on during the week and it's like, oh God, deliver me. There's nothing here I want to hear. So I have the blessing now of when I am wearing hearing aids, I don't use them on Saturday because I have headphones I can crank right up. But I can just hit, they got Bluetooth, and I just listen to tunes on my phone, and everything's good. It calms me down. Until I get a tune. There are some tunes. Somehow, on my phone, I have a whole bunch of Hall & Oates songs that I don't like. I mean, I do like Hall & Oates, but the songs that I don't like are there, and I need to sit down and go through them someday and just get rid of it. You know, oh, God, another Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates singing Righteous Brothers? No. If I want to listen to Righteous Brothers, I'm going to listen to Righteous Brothers. I ain't going to listen to Hall & Oates sing. Not that they do a terrible job, but just no. It ain't happening. Man, you know? So I will research on how the adaptive headlights work. And it's no panacea. It isn't going to fix everything. But supposedly they work better. We'll see. Let's go over to line one, right there on the phone. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi.
My son had the person said that there are some cracks in it. He's shielding the cracks. Said it would need a new liner. Nothing is falling down or anything like that in there.
But,
how much of a fire is that?
You're breaking up on me. What you repeat that again?
My son had his chimney swept the other day.
Okay.
And there were some cracks in the tile, and they said it would need to be have a stainless steel liner put in.
Yes.
Nothing is falling. How much of a fire hazard is that? He was wondering, is that something he needs to get done like ASAP or what?
It depends, I guess, on the degree, but there was just somebody in town last Friday, who had a chimney fire between that formed between the liner and the shell of the chimney, you know, the block. It ain't good. Having said that, you know, it depends how much you're burning. If he's using it, you know, I'm going to throw a number out there. If you're burning a couple of quart a year, I think it's worth looking into doing. It can be a DIY project. It's not the most fun thing in the world. I did two this year. But I think it, you know, at what price do you put not having a chimney fire?
Yeah, he replaced the boiler last year, but before that it was one of the dual boilers.
This is not a wood chimney, wood fire, no. Wood stove chimney.
It used to be, but now it's just he has a cold stop boiler he replaced it with.
Okay, I think that's a lot less significant if the shell of the chimney is intact. The problem with this situation is that when you have, especially a cold start boiler, the chimney tends to cool down. And then when it starts up again, you're going to condense moisture on it, and that's going to enhance spalling and failure of the clay liner over time. I don't think it's imperative that it has to be done this year, though.
Yeah, he was worried about it, so I figured I'd call Tom. You know, you have the answers, Tom.
Well, I have a couple. I try. All right.
I appreciate it, Tom.
Okay, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, it is a significant issue. And, you know, when a licensed boiler person comes in, if the liner is compromised, they're not putting your boiler in. So then you drop the liner in. So maybe you didn't hear when I did this a couple months ago, I had a dual flue chimney. One was hooked to the wood stove, one was hooked to the boiler. So on the wood stove side, I used a rigid stainless steel liner that screws together. Excuse me. And I have two openings. One is in the basement that's not used. So I put a T in there and capped it. And then in the living room is another one. That's the one that's hooked to the wood stove. That's hooked up. And then I insulated between the liner and the old liner, the clay liner. So especially with a wood stove, there's a lot. You have the opportunity to condense out a lot of creosote. So insulating it helps. And it heats up faster, it draws better, and it's doing all those things. I decided after I did that, I should do the boiler liner. For that one, I used a flexible stainless steel liner, which is quicker to put in. I wanted to have a clean out on the wood stove one, so I have a clean out at the base, whereas on the boiler liner, I have just a flexible stainless one that comes straight in, no clean out. If I need to clean it, we could take the flue pipe off and clean the liner, put it all back together. You know, you don't have the same degree of stuff to deal with. So that helps. Well, we got to take a break. It's 8:30. Oh, my. We got more to come. Stay with us.
Shining through. When you're crying, you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing. Won't you be happy again? When you're smiling. Keep on smiling. And the world will smile.
Man, you know what? I just wanna have 2 hours of Louis Prima. That's all I want. That's all I want out of life. You know, I endlessly make lists of, well, okay, when I kick off, what do I want you guys to play? Louis Prima. That'd be good. Our phone number 1-800-966-1039, text 601-207-4478. I got the email on the CarPlay. Thank you. I will look into that. But, you know, because having all the – I love the Apple Maps app. I have cars that have GPS on them, and I find them all kind of annoying. The Apple – and if I need to find out where I am, I usually have my phone to look because it just is, to me, so much more user-friendly. So I mentioned we got a forklift this week, and it was very inexpensive. It's got a bad head gasket. And my friend Nat found it for me, and it's in really nice shape, actually, except for the head gasket thing. And I don't think it's real hairy to do the head gasket on this particular engine. It's a Mitsubishi engine, and I don't think it's a very complicated process. But here we are, 2021. I have tried in the past, and I won't name the product, but the car doctor espouses a head gasket leak sealer, and I have tried it. I think I've tried it a couple times, and I can't say it works. Not well enough that I'd want to use it again, but I might try something different. I found one. A lot of these head gasket sealer products use sodium silicate, and they don't work very well. They tend to fail. I've had success in the past, and I've also had them where they haven't worked well. And my gut is, if we get a car that has a head gasket issue, we ain't throwing magic potions, and we're changing the head gasket. With a forklift, I can't ferry it around to my mechanics. The mechanic really should come to me, so I don't know how that applies, or I just do it myself. The problem I have, my declining years, is if I'm leaning over a car and I find this and I forget it, you know, you're working on stuff. You, oh God, I'm going to get this done. And if I'm leaning over a car, like if you're doing mechanic, official mechanic work, a head gasket, changing an alternator, something like that, and I'm doing that for more than 10 minutes, I'm walking around like Groucho Marx for a while before I'm standing upright again. And it's just like, okay, I got to stretch. That hurts. So I don't know. We'll see. I will sort it out. Another thing that's going on is, and my wife has lamented about this, and she is right. She always usually is. The heating season is upon us. She says the floors feel cold. Now, the basement is spray foamed. There's a heating appliance in the basement. I do have a garage door to the basement, which I cover over this time of year with foam. So, and seal it. So it's as tight as it's going to be. It's not a huge thing, but she feel, and I can feel the floors feel cooler. And in the summertime, when the heat pump's running in the basement, the floors are cold. It doesn't bother me a lot. It does her. And so I was thinking about using some kind of, cut and fit. So basement's full of stuff. I can't spray foam the bottom side of the upstairs floor. Overspray. I can't move everything out. I don't want to deal with that. So putting bats up in this in between or cutting and fitting foam is going to be the deal. And I just don't want to cut and fit foam. Anyway, I came to the conclusion that bats make sense. And I don't want to use rock wool or fiberglass because of the, I'm not going to cover it over. I want something that's kind of benign. I had the wood fiber stuff that came out of Madison, which is pretty nice, except it is a little, it's more than a little dusty installing it. Not a big deal if you're doing new construction. My basement is full of stuff. I don't want to do that. So I got in my head, well, they made a denim fiber insulation from recycled denim, not necessarily recycled, but waste of manufacturing of denim. And it was blue. It looked kind of nice. Can't get it. They don't make it anymore. So I've been looking around. So then I found one. It's made out of sheep's wool. You can get sheep's wool insulation. It's treated so moths don't. Can you imagine putting sheep's wool in and have moth walls full of moths? But it's treated so moths don't eat it. That would be one option. But there's another option that apparently just showed up, and that is a cellulose bat insulation. And it's a blend of cellulose fiber, which is ground-up newspaper that we blow into attics all the time, which is a fantastic, affordable insulation, blended with a cotton fiber. And the cotton fiber holds everything together, and it's not real, for lack of a better word, tingly for stuff falling down. You don't have a lot of dust and stuff falling off of it. So I'm trying to find somebody who handles that, and lots of luck. I think I will report back. The search is on, and I think there may be a local distributor for it, but I haven't gotten that far yet in the midst of all my other fun antics. But I got to get about 1,000 square feet. You know, and just so you know, if you have this situation where you have a cold floor, you don't necessarily need to have a lot of insulation on the bottom of the floor to be effective. In my case, I've got a 2x10 floor joist. I don't need to fill that cavity with insulation. If I get insulation, in this case a bat, or it could be a sheet of foam that fits on the bottom of the floor joist, every inch above that insulation of air is a dead airspace. It has an R value of about 1 per inch, which is pretty decent. So the thinnest bad insulation you can normally get is about R13. So, and it's 3.5 inches. So if you have another 7 inches above that, you've got about an R20 floor, which is where you'd kind of want to be. It works. And you can stretch your dollar that way without having to insulate the whole cavity. Because if you're dealing with wool insulation or even cellulose, bad insulation, these are not inexpensive. They're not like rock wool or fiberglass, which are quite inexpensive by comparison. But they're not outrageous either. So I will report back, though, once I sort it out. I need about 1,000 square feet. It's a 1,200 square foot house, and there's some areas I don't have to deal with. So you're saying to yourself, well, Tom, why not just put foam at the bottom of the floor joists? I got plumbing everywhere. I'm cutting and fitting foam, and I'm basically lazy at this point. I don't want to do it. Well, let's see. We got a whole bunch of text messages. Hey, Tom, there's another thing to speak to VOM management about following lighting. I enjoy your show streaming. When logging in for the first time, you literally have to listen to 15 minutes of commercial, many of them repeated in the same segment. Show content, please. Well, yeah, they got to pay the bills, you know. I understand, though. That's the time when you go get a peanut butter or something. Do you know anything about New Hampshire oil undercoating? Not a lot. I looked at it. It sounds good. I think years ago, before we had any of this stuff available, you know, a lot of people would say, I use old motor oil. I spray it underneath the car. Now, and that works fine. I do it once a year. That's similar. I think New Hampshire oil, I have no direct experience with it. I haven't tried it. What I like about both wool wax and fluid film is there is some thickness to the material. And it can tend to flow back together while it's relatively new. But I think a lot of these coatings that are not permanent, which I don't think anything is truly permanent when you're spraying it under a car, need to be treated every year. Not necessarily do the whole car, but every year you got to inspect it. Everything else is too expensive. To fix a problem is just too much money. Oh, I tried K-Seal, the car doctor recommends it clogged my heater core. Yep. We have gotten in Priuses where somebody had a bad head gasket, and they have put something in. Inevitably, we have to change out the water pump. We might have had an issue. Excuse me, somebody had a heater core issue. We I think we floated that around a lot trying to get it fixed. I mean, you got to be careful what you're putting in your engine. what else? Best insulation for soundproofing. The cotton type insulation is pretty decent. And that is something that if you Google soundproofing insulation, you'll see it. It tends to be expensive. They sell it for, I think they sell wool insulation for this as well. And I believe it's meant to be in the room. Like in there's none in here. In some of the other studios in the station here, we have soft spongy rubber, spongy foam insulation, or spongy foam like would be in a pillow or something like that. That tends to be effective and making the sound not echo. When you get into a room where it's just bare walls and it's hard surfaces and considered sheetrock hard surfaces, sound's going to bounce around a lot and echo. I've been fooling around with banjos, if we make what they call an open back banjo where the back of the instrument is open, it sounds quieter than a banjo with a resonator. Resonator has a hard wooden back and sides that project the sound. On an open back, the banjo is sitting on your belly, basically, and your clothes and your body tend to absorb a lot of that sound, much mellower sound. So those kind of things will work effectively. It doesn't have to be expensive soundproofing insulation. the other part of this is if you're trying to cut sound transmission from room to room, insulating the room helps, insulating the wall helps, but also air tightness. You want to seal all the cracks. Sound moves through air. If there's cracks, sound transmits better. Studio I'm sitting in, we've got a heavy door that's weather stripped. So, for what that's worth. Well, let's see. Car Doctor swears by K-Seal. I know he does. And I don't. So, there was one I used. I think I've used a couple. This is before I was doing cars. You know, this is kind of funny. I bought a Subaru for $300. This is going back a while now. Had 300K on it, 300,000 miles on it. And they said it needed a head gasket. And I went with my friend Chuck. Chuck, if you're listening, I wonder if you remember this. It was in Herman? Anyway, it is local. So we go to pick it up. We're picking it up. He has a trailer. We're going to put it on the trailer. I start the car. I brought water, put it in the car, start the car up. The head gasket leak was so bad. I had the hood open. I started the engine up. And it shot water in the air, hit him in the face. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe we just did that. Brought it back to my shop. And I put a magic potion in, and it was water. All the antifreeze had been drained out of the car multiple times, I'm sure. And I put water in, put this stuff in, followed the directions. And I had a friend who was visiting, and we're standing there. The engine's running, and the water is just hemorrhaging out, and then it stopped. And it was, wow, it worked. Well, it worked for about a week. And it didn't, the car didn't fail because of that. It threw a rod or something after that. But it did work for about a week. We were kind of impressed, but a week is nothing. And most of these sodium silicate type materials are pretty finite. Unless maybe you catch it real early on. But then, you know, the other part of this is you're running the risk of plugging up something. The water pump, the heater core. Heater core is more likely to be a problem. That's not worth it. That's definitely not worth it. Let's see, Tom, where can I find someone to apply wool wax treatment? Check local garages. I know down in my neck of the woods, I think Reds does fluid film. Searsport Automotive does wool wax. I think they might do fluid film too, and they also do, I think they do wax oil. So you have a couple of options there. So there are people around doing it. I think most local garages, they don't have to have a big investment to be able to apply this stuff. Ideally, you need to have a lift. You can do it lying on the ground with one side of the car jacked up on jack stands, but that's not perfect. I've done that, and it does work. So, all right. What else we got? That's it. Well, got a couple of minutes here before the break. Did I tell you that I picked up, because, you know, there's not enough going on. So I picked up an electric bike, several weeks ago. Done a run. It was cheap. It was a mile down the road from my shop. And it's got fat tires. And I always thought those looked kind of cool with the fat tires. Looked a little bit more like, I'm not riding a bicycle. It's more like a motorcycle. It's obviously not. It's a bicycle. But it doesn't run. And I got it running this week. And, I have the background when it comes to dealing with electric things, but there is no service data on the thing at all. It has proprietary connectors. I contacted the manufacturer. It's obvious the customer service is in China, where they, used to have a lot of electric bikes. That was a big deal in China, electric bikes. And now the electric bikes are no more. Well, there's some, but not like there was, say, 10, 15 years ago when it was a big explosion of them. Everybody's got cars. or they have electric scooters, you know, like a Vespa type scooter. So yeah, and as I'm going to run out of time here, but I'm looking around, I'm looking for parts. I'm trying to figure out who makes this part, at finding a vendor on this side of the ocean who has it. I contacted customer service. They sent me, I said, I need the controller. So they sent me a thing back. Well, send us a picture of the bike. Well, we need a picture of the bike. I told you what the brand, what the model is. They want to see the label with the serial number. That's fine. I sent that. They send me a picture back. You need this one because they make about 10 different, or they sell about 10 different ones. They sent me the wrong one. The connectors are all wrong. So at that point, I said, okay, I'm just going to go. I'm going to find one that looks like it's right. I'm going to research it as much as I can. And I got it, and it works. So so we got that far with it. It actually runs. And I took it out, and it's fun to drive on pavement. The fat tires are cushiony. I mean, they're supposedly for off-road. I took it off-road, and it was twilight. And the kids had gone home for the day. I said, oh, I got it running. Oh, cool. So I'm in the driveway driving around. I said, oh, I got 2 acres out back that we just flattened. Now it's getting dark, okay? I got no helmet, and I'll take it out back. Oh, it's smooth. And I went way out back, and I'm coming back, and I'm like, you know, how stupid are you? You got no helmet. You're riding. It's getting dark. They're going to find your cold corpse in the morning. You pop off this sucker, and you wind up as a cold corpse. Didn't happen. Obviously, I'm still here. All right, we're going to take a break. It is time. 8:55. It is hot and cold. Stay with us.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. I'm going to Jackson. I'm gonna mess around. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson. Look out, Jackson Town.
We'll go.
I'm gonna snowball Jackson.
See if I can.
When I breeze into that city, people gonna stoop and bow. All them women gonna make me teach them what they don't know how. I'm going to.
Joan and Mitchie were getting kind of itchy just to leave the folk music behind.
All right, we're back. It's 9:05. Got a lot to cover today. Still, hour number two. First off, going to start off, somebody sent a message that I'm smacking my lips on the air. I am having cough lozenges, so I don't cough on the air. So it's your choice. Third choice is, if I'm really annoying you, change the dial. Or put on a record or something, or just go chop wood or vent that frustration. Is what it is. I do the best I can. Let's see. Also, got a question here about what tires to get for winter. If somebody who lived in Maine moved back, that's a tough one. Technically, snow tires. I use all seasons, and they're not as good. They're just not as good. I don't think studded tires are worth it unless you work at the radio station. You got to be here every morning at 3 a.m. I assume Mr. Tyler and Mr. Mr. Hale have studded snow tires that they put on. So they're here in the morning at the anointed hour. Usually if I'm looking at a Saturday morning where I'm looking at a storm, I'll hop into a four-wheel drive something. But I don't have studded tires on anything. I hate studded tires. They do serve a purpose, but ideally they're for ice. I mean, they work well on ice. Yeah, how much ice? Maybe we have a little more ice than we used to because the weather keeps flip-flopping back and forth, but I think if you're concerned about traveling and you've got to be traveling in snow, a snow tire, obviously you're going to be swapping them out come springtime or have an extra set of tires. So hopefully that does the trick. Oh, what else we got? Tom, where can I find a harness for a 2011 Jeep for turn signal? Boy, when you're getting into wiring harnesses, two places come to mind. Well, three places. I'm positive. As I sit here on Saturday morning at 9:08, there's a catalog out there for Jeep parts because Jeeps are kind of a esoteric brand. You know, people do a lot of stuff to them. So I suspect you can find that. The other place, obviously, is the dealer. If you have an investment, you want to cash in and get the harness. The third place would be eBay. My go-to is to look at eBay for something that's weird and not readily available, and especially if you're looking for a used harness. And actually, I'll give you a fourth one. And this is, I won't call it a trade secret because it's not. But if you get online and you type in car-part.com, that allows you to search junkyards all over the country. And you can sort them by price. You can sort them by distance from you. Something like a wiring harness, they can throw in an envelope and ship to you. So that's a positive. But that's where I would be. Generally, I just jump right on eBay because it's real quick. And I just, and anytime I find a price, then I can do a little bit of comparative shopping. So I hope that helps. Over to line two right there. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I just had an idea. You were talking about metal in the tires. Metal something. How about metal in the tires touching electrified road? Huh?
Yeah, you know, you have to have two connections, one for energy flow in and one for energy flow out, whether it's the AC, DC, whatever. And that's what trolley cars used to do. They had the overhead wire and the tracks. I don't see that as viable. The other thing that came out a few years ago, and it just resurrected again, because it's just stupid, and it's so stupid that it has a second or third or maybe fourth life. I don't know. And that is roads that are solar panels. Now, it's a great concept. You got all this road, you got all this pavement and solar panels that make electricity. You're driving cars over it. Now, it could be someday that is a viable thing. But if you're putting glass panels on the road and you're driving over them, come on. How stupid is that? Give me a break. This is not a viable technology. But they're doing, I think they're doing it in Holland. It was the most recent. And they did it overseas, somewhere else in Europe. And maybe they got stronger glass. But just the concept of the getting all that to work right. And what happens if it breaks? You're going to stop. You're going to dig up the road and replace solar panels on the road? No, that ain't happening. It just ain't happening. I'm sorry. Nobody checks with me on these things. When I plow driveways, I would always have 500 to 600 pounds of weight in the back of my truck and snow tires. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's that season. And I used to have big blocks of more tree stump than wood. But yeah, any weight like that. I love my studded tires on my plow truck. Yeah, well, maybe on a plow truck, especially studded tires make perfect sense. I had a car come in July. It was a Prius. I wound up buying from a guy. It was July. He had studded tires on it. Now, first of all, how do you get away with that? If I did something like that, I'd probably be in jail for 3 weeks. And don't you feel a little guilty about screwing up the roads, running studs in the summertime? I had a, what did I do with the tires? We swapped them out. I think I gave them to my mechanic. And as a matter of fact, it was a time when they were, they were paving Route 1A. And I had to go down Route 1A. I said, I can't do it. They literally were paving that day. I said, I cannot drive on new pavement with studded tires. This would be, A, I don't want to do it. B, if I did do it, I'm at least going to get the stink eye, if not if somebody called the state police on me, rightly so. And but this guy was driving around with them for, what? Was it May, June, July? So 3 months. What a world. You mentioned the maintenance being a downside to wind generators. Solar, by contrast, seems pretty passive. Is there any maintenance, such as panel cleaning, required? I don't know if they, I assume there is, but I think it's pretty quick if they do. You know, there's some glass out there, and I don't know if anybody uses it on panels, that is kind of self-cleaning in the sense dirt doesn't stick to it very well. But it can be an issue. Driving up and down the lanes with a sprayer wouldn't take that much to clean them. I just don't know. You know, nobody, those guys don't talk to me. I have a friend who actually rents. He had bought a big parcel of land off of Route 1, and it had been logged. And then a solar company approached him, and he gets all excited every year when the rent check comes in. And I can't blame him. If I had the rent check, I'd be doing other things. Speaking of doing other things, let's hit the tune machine. There we go, right there. And we'll be right back. It is Hot and Cold Saturday morning, 9:15.
Well, if you ever plan the motor west, travel my way, that's a highway, that is the best. Get your kicks out on Route 66. What do you think, Jason?
Lottie wine, from Chicago to L.A. on the way. More than 2,000 miles along the way. Get your kicks out on Route 66.
St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri. Oklahoma City sure looks pretty. You should see Amarillo and Gallup, New Mexico. Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona. Kingland, Barstow, San Bernardino.
Wanna get hip to this kind of town? Come on and see. Well, when you take that California.
Are you ready? Check out.
Anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there is, then you know. Sure to me, Dinah. The dick got blazing. Who love the city's gazing to the eyes of Dinah Lee. Baby, every man wants I shake my fat tongue. Cause my dynamite, change of mind. Baba, did this year, you know. Don't you wanna, baby? I'll have a new line. Oh, baby. Oh, Dinah. Dinah. Oh,
All right, 9:20, hot and cold Saturday morning. Lewis, right there. Hey, a couple things, noteworthy business things. First of all, I need to tell you about our friends at General Appliance over on Center Street and Brewer, open 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. The phone number is the important thing, 989-4341. If you're looking for appliance parts, service, Refurbished Appliances, they're the guys, 989-4341. Also want to mention big, actually big news down in my neck of the woods. The former Tozier store will be reopening as Edwards this coming Friday. So somewhere along the way, they're opening at 7 a.m. Friday the 18th. Not Friday the 18th, Friday the 22nd, excuse me. I got in my head that they were opening yesterday, and I was just about to hop in the car and go down at 7 o'clock, which is when they're opening next Friday. Fortunately, I didn't do it. And I mentioned something to Maria. I said, hey, why don't we go over to Edwards? They're open. And she says, no, they're not. So I would be banging on the door. Hey, come here. What are all these ladders in the way for? But they are making great progress. They got the shelves stocked up. Man, they're showing pictures of the store. They have so much bacon. Bacon must be, well, bacon is a big deal, I guess. But a lot of bacon in the meat department. I looked at the picture, man. I tell you what, if you need bacon, next Friday, go over there to Edwards in Searsport, Maine. And I also want to mention my buddy Massimo. He's open. And now's the time. So there's not a big rush at noontime if I go there. We don't want to be fighting over getting food. So he's open today from 9 to 3. Tomorrow from 9 to 3. Or 10 to 3. It's 9. I'm sure if you're there at 9, he's not going to say go away and come back. And, of course, he's open on Fridays now, too. So we got that out of the way. Now, we can't do that because we lost him. Pete has a lot of trouble getting in on the governor's line. I'm not sure what the problem is. But how do I do this? There's Pete sending me a message. It's going straight to voicemail. Call back, Pete. And I'm going to watch. I'll hit the tune machine. That's what I'll do. That'll bring him on, right? And you know, after one or two busy signals and a little bit of CCR by the magic of radio, there's Pete. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
You're breaking up. This is a good start. We're doing really good. You should call on my business phone because you're driving me crazy with the cell phone of yours.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
All right.
Damn it.
You know what? What you need to understand is it's not the phone. It's the fact that you've made the office into a Faraday cage.
So call on the other phone, the landline.
I will call. I'm going to call on the other phone right now.
Don't, because we might not get through again.
Okay, I'll stay here.
If you start to break up, we'll get rid of you and start over. How's that?
All right, so if I have to let go, I'll call back on the business line.
Yeah, we got people coming in, looking at cars.
Yeah.
What a concept. So what's new, Pete? What do you got for me this week that might embarrass me and the radio station?
I'm proud to say,
yeah,
I stayed up way too late, but I did get to witness what was probably the lamest boxing match in the history of time.
Mm.
Oh, it was awful. Anybody that stayed up knows what I'm talking about.
So a 29-year-old beat a 58-year-old guy in the ring.
27. Spoiler alert if you haven't watched it.
Okay.
But, it wasn't good. Like, I'm not going to get into it. If you want to watch the highlights, go ahead. It wasn't good. And, you know, here's the thing. Like, I don't watch boxing, so I don't know how it works. So they're like, 8 o'clock on Netflix. I'm like, cool. 8 o'clock on Netflix, it starts just like, here's our schedule.
Yeah, phantom weight, then middleweight.
There were three fights before his fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, oh, well, what are you going to do?
Well, he gave you something to
do. You know
do
what I saw the other day, online? I don't know if you've seen this. It's a video of some people renovating, and they're opening a wall. I think it's a wall between a house and a garage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pulling the sheetrock back, and there's no insulation in the cavity.
Hmm.
there's stuffed animals. the entire wall is full of stuffed animals and clothes and stuff.
Yeah. Well,
clearly they went to Goodwill and bought bags of stuffed animals and just insulated the wall with those.
Wow. Wow. That's interesting. Well,
you're looking at it and you're like, ha, that's funny. And then you start thinking about it. You're like, well, I guess it's not the worst idea in the world. I mean, it does something, not much, but.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the car that we bought. I bought at auction. It was an insurance car. And we went to clean it out, and the trunk was literally full of puzzles.
Oh, yeah. That trunk had probably 100 puzzles in it.
And they were all gnarly enough that they weren't worth keeping. Yeah. But a lot of times when you dig into old houses, you'll find newspapers. You'll see pictures of houses during the Depression, or shanties or shacks, whatever. And they've got a newspaper on the walls trying to cut the drafts. And now we just insulate to the bejeepers. So that's
Speaking
which is
of
a good
Depression
thing.
Era houses, something that this is a pet peeve of mine, and I'm sure it is of yours too.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand it when there's a house that somebody clearly owns, but nobody lives there,
mm-hmm.
and it's being neglected.
Mm.
That drives me. There's a house on 1A that I drive past all the time. I know it's empty because there's a light on in the kitchen and there's a light on by the door, and that's it. And those are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everything else is untaken. You know, there's nobody in the building, but clearly somebody owns it. And it just bothers me to see it neglected. You know, it's slowly becoming more and more decrepit.
Well, it was like that house that was down in Searsport that they just finished burning after it fell in on itself. It had been neglected for so many years. I mean, when I first...
That was vacant for like 50 years, though.
Yeah, when I got out of school and first lived in Stockton Springs in 1975, that house was... It was still more or less intact. It could have been saved at that point, but of course nobody did anything to it for all those years, and at some point it just got terrible, which is sad to see. Yep. But it's better; it looks a lot better now without all that stuff in the way. And I know the people who have it will clean up the property and do something decent with it. There's a lot of land there too. I think it's 26 acres, something like that. So speaking of which, the treehouse in Frankfurt, which is my project that I fixate on, is $50,000, and it's on Zillow.
Yep.
And I've been thinking about
That's
it.
That's a tough one, though.
It's a tough
That's
one.
A tough one.
I need a bucket truck.
let's skip around here a little bit. I'll say, why don't you just buy the bucket truck instead of buying a house as an excuse to buy a bucket truck.
Could
so
do
whatever
that.
You're trying to do, it worked, and I'm on board.
I don't need a bucket truck for the only reason. You know, I was looking
you
at
got a helmet.
I'm looking at the house, and I'm thinking, ideally, you stage at least three sides of the house, and then I start looking
to wrap the whole thing in staging.
Yeah, and it's just so much money to have that much staging. So then I said, well, if you have a bucket truck, you can move it around, but you're very limited. Whereas staging, it's very secure. You got a nice work surface to work off of, and there's so much that's needed to be done at the roof level, on the mansard up to the not so much on the roof itself is pretty flat. You could get up there and work without too much, but the mansard part of it, you got to have staging. And...
that's the sort of thing that once you get into it, it wouldn't be surprising if that whole third top section needs to come off. You know?
I don't think it does.
It might be so rotten from well, I guess the water's going straight down.
Yeah, I've been up there enough.
The rest of the building.
Well, I was up there once, I should say, enough. I looked around. It looked not bad. The eaves are going to be pooched. They're going to need a lot of love. And that's where you're in a bucket. You got what? Access maybe to maybe 6 feet. And what's the building, 30 by 30 or 40 by 40, something like that? So 35 by 35, you're repositioning all the time, and it's just not an easy project to do off a truck like that. So I'm not going to get the truck.
The realtor's listening to this right now going, shut up.
Yeah.
Stop.
I need to sell. Well, it's 50 grand.
It's a fixer-upper.
That's such a great deal. Okay,
honestly, if there's a functioning well on the property, then it's that the lot and that is probably worth the 50 easy.
Yeah. Friend of mine is builds a couple houses a year, and he had a well put in yesterday, and it went down 300 feet. And that was mucho.
That's a deep well.
That's a deep well, and it was a lot of money. And, okay.
You're just liable to hit oil.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. It is 9:31. Oh, my God, I lost a whole hour. We'll be right back with Pete. Stay with us.
Holding hands at midnight, neath the starry sky. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one girl, sighing sigh after sigh. Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try.
Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door.
What's the difference between a banjo and an onion? I don't know. Nobody cries when you cut up a banjo. Whoa!
I cry.
Okay, let's turn that down, turn that up, turn that up there. We talked to Pete. Pete, you still there?
I am still here.
Okay. I guess that's good.
Yeah. Okay, so I got a building question.
Yeah.
Do you think, specifically I'm talking about second floor wall cavities, do you think there's a benefit if you're building something or you're in a wall cavity for whatever reason, you've got to clear it out, to painting the inside of the wall cavity?
No.
No, not to. It wouldn't help protect the wood in the event of a a leak or something.
No. You just want it to dry.
Use exterior paint.
No, there's no reason to do it.
Okay.
Okay, that was easy.
All right, that's the end of that question.
Okay.
There's a guy I follow in Alaska that he had a rotten part of his second story, and he was rebuilding it, and they painted the inside of the wall cavity before they insulated it, and I started wondering about that.
Yeah. He's just wasting his money.
He's just being weird. Yeah. He was a weirdo. He's a weirdo, that guy. He don't know me. He doesn't know I said that.
Yeah. He's not listening.
Yeah.
Hey, several things. First one here. Good morning, Tom. Would you please send a thank you to the Stockton Springs and North Searsport Fire Departments for quickly putting out the forest fire last Sunday? They spotted putting out a fire on a blueberry field in Stockton, and also firefighters were dealing with arson in Frankfurt. So always happy to thank those folks who do that work for us. They do an incredible job, and it's always ongoing. It ain't always nice out when they get the call. Could be the middle of the night, could be freezing cold, could be hot as a pistol. They're always there. When we had a fire, they did outstanding work, as they always do. They train a lot for this. They train just to be ready to protect us, and they're our friends and neighbors, and they do outstanding work. I can't say nothing but kudos to everybody that we have in the state of Maine, the country even, who do this kind of work for a living or as a contribution to our community. It's definitely a wonderful thing. Got a message. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was talking to somebody about those fires the other day, and she was telling me that for the one in the woods, they were they're requesting side-by-sides and chainsaws and stuff to get out there.
Mm. Yeah.
To get to it. And then they were working on that one when the call came in for the other one.
Yeah.
And it was all pagers to that location. So it was a busy day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and like the one we talked about last Saturday up in Hamden, they had mutual aid from a lot of towns, and it was so windy. I mean, they had it under control. When I went by, which was 5:20. fire started at 5:20. The fire was pretty much gone, I think. They're just, everybody was still there just in case. So
yeah.
I got a message here. I heard that the first snow is most slippery. What does that mean? First snow of the season, first snow of the storm. How long is it slippery?
Think people don't pay attention to how slippery the road is when it first starts snowing.
Well, I think that's part of it. I was thinking about it. It could be, you know, roads have a lot of stuff that falls out on them, oil, whatever. It could be that first storm of the year, there's a little bit more oily stuff underneath the snow as well. But I think most of it is just people want to keep driving like it's June. And
are you inferring that in the state of Maine, we have vehicles that are leaking oil on our roads?
One or two.
I take offense. Okay. I take great offense to that, sir.
Well, you should. a couple of boxing match issues. Mike Tyson is still built like a brick house. I left out something there. But he certainly skipped a few leg days in the gym. Mike Tyson's 58 years old.
As I understand it, the reason why the fight was postponed was he had a knee injury back when it was supposed to start. So he couldn't really, you know, he wasn't really able to bounce around like I think he wanted to. Because his big thing back in the day was he was real quick. He'd zip in and out.
And so
if he can't do that, then he's on the defensive.
Somebody else said, I agree, the fight was pretty lame. Only consolation was it was free if you have Netflix. Yeah, I guess. I try not to watch boxing because I get too wound up. I'm standing there and jumping up and down, and I probably wouldn't have last night, but it started at around 11?
No, it started at 8, but there were three matches before it, and they had the preamble in between the matches, so the actual fight didn't start until like...
You broke up. What time was that?
It was past 11:30.
Okay, yeah, that's why. Another reason I didn't stay up to watch it. Somebody wants to know, what's our dealership called? What do you want to call it?
we go back and forth on this as to what we should call it. If you're looking for the website, it's just www.prius.store. The actual location, the sign says American Solar Technics. And when I answer the phone, I say AST Cars. So you can pick any one of those and roll with it.
Yeah. And we're trying to figure out a different name, and we're not getting too far with that.
We ought to just call it Across from Just Barb's Car Dealership.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Anything important here that I have not touched on? I think we've touched on. Oh, I did want to mention, this is a big deal. I mean, this is a big deal. I vacuumed my basement the other day. Now, this is a big deal because I got about 3 weeks ago a dust extractor vacuum, which looks like a shop vac. And I got it at Harbor Freight, and it's not cheap, but it does a couple of things really well. First of all, you can plug in, if you can hook it up to like a sander and plug the sander into the device, into the vacuum. And when the sander comes on, the vacuum comes on, that kind of thing. But I didn't use it. I've used it for that, and it works great. But it comes with a wand, and I was vacuuming the floor. And it does an incredible job because when you have a shop vac, if you've ever emptied out your shop vac after cleaning your shop or your garage or whatever, and, you know, you got dirt from the car or whatever, that filter, which is a pleated filter, is just packed with dust.
Yep.
And we, meaning Pete, Maria, and I, when we have a shop vac at work, when we empty that shop vac, we're banging that filter in the dumpster, and the dust is going everywhere, trying to free it up so it'll draw better. This machine actually shakes those filters as it's running to clear them.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and I think most dust extractors do this. But the beauty of the one that we got at Harbor Freight was it's less expensive, and they're also sold out. I had to go down to Thomaston to get the last one, and I called ahead. It was a Sunday morning because I had gone to Ellsworth. There were none in Bangor. I called to Ellsworth. I went to Ellsworth, the day before. They had one, and I went to get it, and it was the guy had just loaded it into some guy's truck. So next day was a Sunday. I went I was going to go to Thomaston. I said, you know, I'm going to call and ask them if they'll hold it for me. And they did, and and it was they had to look for it. It was buried under something. It was the last one. So, oh, my. We got a whole bunch of messages just came in. Which position did Pete take? Chief of Staff for Angus King or Chief Constable of Waldo County? I those are pending, aren't they?
Still rebuilding that bridge with Angus King. I think he knows I was joking. I was joking. I didn't think he'd win with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but we're going to work together on some stuff. I think he's got plans for me. I've got a lot of ideas.
You're going to wet your pants if Angus King calls you up.
I'll do whatever you need me to do, buddy. I'll be your man on the ground.
The guy wanted to know our dealership name.
I definitely got second place register of probate for Winterport. I'm sure of that. I know I got at least three boats.
Wow, you're up and coming.
Place, I'm the vice register of probate. Yeah.
Hmm.
We're off and running.
Okay. I had a guy I used to work with years ago. We had a restaurant for a short period of time, and he used to say lunch can start any time now. Never did, but. the guy who asked about the name of the business said, it's great branding. So there.
Thank you.
Tom and Pete's Priuses and more. How about Banjo Man Car Sales? Gozy Gear House.
Car Sales. That's actually not bad. But then we got to lean into the banjo aspect.
That's not hard to do.
When I get the power of attorney over you and tell you, you can't come in anymore. It's going to be weird.
Okay. Gozy Gear House is another one. Oh, somebody bought the Harbor Freight dust extractor. It's a very cool thing, quote unquote. So yes, the question is at some point, and I think we just replaced our shop vac past couple of years. I'd love to have one for work just because it cleans itself to some degree at least. That'd be kind of nice, but anyway,
one melted.
Yeah, I had the I think I mentioned that I had a car that had run over an embankment or something, had about 20 pounds of dirt in it in the front. It was like they must have hit mud and then it kind of dried in place, and it was under the bumper cover. The car ran fine, but I took everything out, changed everything. I changed stuff I didn't need to change because I work with Pete, and I'm learning from the master here. You know, the radiator looked okay, condenser looked okay. I said, you know what? I'm into this. Let's change them out. We're right here. And I also changed the radiator core support. But in the process of doing all this, I got dirt everywhere all over the shop. I got that car done yesterday and pulled it out. And it's so cathartic to get all that. It was only a week. It was only in there for a week, but it was so messy. And I'll walk around in it, and I go outside, and you can see my footprints all over the blacktop driveway.
Is that why your footprints were all over the place?
Yeah,
it was just your shoes hold a lot of dirt anyway. But
I'm bringing the dirt from inside out, so it was. It'd be ideal to power wash the floor every week, but that ain't happening. But it's out now and everything's clean. Next car is in place for more fun things. Hot and cold auto sales. I don't think so. That's
we're keeping the brand separate.
Yeah, yeah. Is that what this is?
Hot
a brand?
Cold store has a little bit of reputation. Yeah, hot and cold.
There's a little credibility left. Just a hint.
There's still
not a lot.
Credibility left on the show. So.
Yeah, we'll take care of that. Give us a couple more weeks. Oh man. So Pete, we had some cars go out, and that white Prius, the Prius Prime, the 2021. That one's ready to go.
I got people in line for that. I got people in line for that.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
You haven't given me you got to give me the list. I haven't been able to figure out the price yet.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's my fault.
Yeah.
Here's one.
I asked for the list. You gave me one for an Avalon.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, that'll be a couple of weeks before that's ready. Easy Gozy Car Sales. I was thinking Rusty Tom's Car Sales.
That'd be good. Yeah. Let's do that.
You know, yeah, we you know, it's so hard to get away. I don't know where you have to be. What year? And what we look at cars a lot.
It's about 10 years. It's about 10 years. Any older than 10 years, you got to kind of start eyeballing pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been challenging. And it's it's expensive because if we get something that has rust, it gets cut out, new metal gets completely welded in, and that costs a lot of money. And then it gets undercoated before it gets the undercoating. So it has two layers of undercoating on anything new. But we're trying to get new enough that we don't have to deal with it, but it's challenging, man. I spend a lot of time talking about this before you even come on the radio, Pete, about what we put on the roads. And it's like a tax. It's like a unsolicited, unvoted for tax that every one of us who's on the road pays for.
Under my administration, there was something was going to be done about that, but nobody voted for me for governor this past cycle, so,
Yeah, well, that's understandable.
I can't fix it if you guys don't give me the chance.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tax the tourists, and then I'm going to use that money to reimburse people whose cars get rusted from the road, clearing stuff. Or, I'll do the Alaska thing and just get rid of the sand, salt altogether, and we'll just put compact sand on top of the...
Well...
And it'll take a year or two for people to figure it out, how to drive on it. There's going to be some fender benders, but eventually people will slow down, and they'll be able to get to where they're going.
Well, there's other parts of the country. They don't just use sand. I think Canada's sand a lot, but other parts of the country, they use different chemicals that did not cause the issue, I believe.
I think they're not contending with as much snow as we do, too. I mean...
I don't know. It's hard to say. I assume somebody at the Department of Transportation has spent a fair bit of time studying this. And is this the best that we got? I suppose it is. I don't know. If
the problem is the infrastructure is already in place and the suppliers are controlling what's going to be approved.
Yeah.
There's somebody with I'm trying not to step on any toes, but somebody who provides the stuff that melts the snow is going to have an awful lot of control. He's going to be like, no, we're not doing, you're not doing that. Mm. Let me give you a real good deal, and here's a little bit extra for you. And you just
let's put this out for grabs. If somebody knows anyone in DOT who deals with this, we would love to have them on as a phone-in sometime. We'll even give you the phone number Pete calls in on. And ask them not to call on a cell phone in a Faraday cage. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I thought you were gone.
No, we're all still here. I've got a... I would have voted for you, but you want to work for King. Deal breaker. Wow.
No, I don't want to... I only want... listen, here's the thing, is if you voted for me, I wouldn't have to go this route. We could have worked together, but you didn't. So now I got to...
Now you got to backpedal. Now you got to backpedal.
Yeah, I got to backpedal. I got to, and again,
Yeah.
I didn't know he was going to win. I was kidding. I was joking.
Speaking of all this winter...
I think we got to work together on some stuff, right?
Yeah. A little cooperation. There. I was watching a movie last night with Woody Harrelson playing LBJ, Lyndon Johnson. Have you seen that movie?
Okay. Nope.
I don't even know what year it was, but Woody Harrelson makes a really good LBJ. I mean, he's got it down. And LBJ was a really interesting guy. He wasn't perfect, but man, he got stuff done. That's
didn't
for
he
sure.
Didn't he almost send you to Vietnam?
Well, I had the number, but I was still in school, so I got out of school was about the time it ended. Excuse me, the draft ended anyway. No, about time the war ended too. But that was a rough one. My hat's off to those people who went and fortunately made it back. It was rough for them when they got back, that's for sure.
Again, hippies.
Yeah. Well, he the interesting part of the whole deal, and I haven't gotten this part in the movie yet, is Robert McNamara pushed for the doing the stuff in Vietnam and then recanted years. Oh, I made a mistake. Well, okay. 50,000 guys didn't come home because of that mistake, man. Now we're getting, that's like politics though, isn't it? We're starting to go. We got a couple minutes left. You're open today from 9 to 3, right? Pete, you still there?
Are you talking to me or are you reading a message?
No, I'm talking to you. Who else would I be reading?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know. You read it really, you said it kind of slow, like you were reading it off the screen.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here till 3.
Okay. So if you want to come in and hang with Pete for a while, by all means.
I got cars you can look at. You can take them for rides.
Yeah. You can talk politics with Pete.
We'll solve all the world's problems from these chairs.
Oh, man. Somebody is, I just got a message that said beet juice works great. I'm not sure what that means, but thank you for that tidbit.
Like beets.
Huh?
Do I like beets.
You like beets? I you know, when I was a kid, we used to have to eat the pickled beets in a glass jar. If your mother's listening, she is cringing. They were okay because they were sweet. I would eat them. But they weren't cookies, that's for sure.
You can beets and you fry them up in some butter.
Mm. Okay.
Just have some beets.
Okay.
And get your veggies.
Yeah. All right.
They're a good source of something or other.
Yeah. I'm not sure what, but it's one of those things. Speaking of which, I wanted to mention earlier, yesterday, and he may have them today, Massimo had pizza with artichoke and olives on it.
Mm.
And he also had...
I'm not a big artichoke guy. I think it's kind of gross.
I've eaten it. It's not bad, but it's I'd rather have something with broccoli on it. And they had broccoli with sausage yesterday, which was quite good. All right, well, I guess we're out of time.
The other people are explaining it to me. They're like, "Oh, you just scrape the gunk off with your teeth and eat that." I'm like, "This is disgusting."
Oh, this show is something else. I tell you that. We gotta go, Pete. We're out of time.
All right.
I'll see you in a while. I would like to go out back and work on cars and not be interrupted, if you could do that, okay?
I'll happily leave you alone.
Okay.
You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone.
All right. We got a plan. It's going to work. Thanks, Pete. See you later. Everybody out there, have a great week. Hey, if it snows, drive careful, please. Interest me. Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. Tea rubbles more or less, be or the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles,